Gosum gupe gone chakse lo ngusham yi chu chu chi malu tome ne sa di tu tam che sha
practice in Guru Puja. 지금 람도는 담가서 for one's own benefit, so we'll do this practice now, okay? So we'll do this practice to benefit one's own mind. So this practice is called like accepting. Accepting difficulties, accepting voluntarily, deliberately, accepting difficulties based on like what do you call based on knowledge or wisdom, so that understands that understands how to transform difficulty or how to use difficulty. How to use difficulty how to use difficulty as a path that leads to some kind of state that state is kind of relief. So when you reach that, when you see first, in order to accept difficulty deliberately, voluntarily, what we need clear wisdoms. We need clear wisdom to understand to difficulty as a path, to see difficulty as a path that leads to, mist of difficulties. Yeah. I don't think I will learn the words so don't know how to use. Middle of difficulty, middle of difficulty, you can breathe, no? You can breathe. That's how you say in America, you can breathe. Yeah, you can breathe, no? So, whether there's physical difficulty, mental difficulty, it's not easy to take in, it's not easy to know. Naturally, generally speaking, whether there's physical difficulty or mental difficulty is not easy. It's not physical. It's mental difficulty, it's not easy on mind, it's not physical. So therefore now accepting that, voluntarily, deliberately, what it requires deeper understanding, it needs some wisdom to understand. So the difficulty, can be path, can be used as a tool that allows you to breathe. Oh, that's what that allows you to breathe, Even though it's like difficulties, but it still, it allows you to, to breathe. I think it's allow you to breathe, So thing means allow you to breathe means, it allows you mentally. It allows you to think something, something positive. So that's why this piece of practice is for, accepting difficulties. Based on the wisdom that understands difficulty as not, sees the difficulty as a tools to help your mind to ease, or maybe to breathe, okay? seeing something is exhausting. Seeing something is exhausting. You know, seeing something is exhausting. Say what's the example? When you see behind the car, smoke, this is what you call exhausting. That means something is exhausting, right? Am I right? Yeah, something is burning. Something is burning. Similarly, something is burning. You know, something is burning. So now seeing that something is exhausting, you know, seeing that something is exhausting, so at least not something is accumulating, something is exhausting. You know? So, you know, it's like intellectually it's not that difficult to understand, but, you know, practically, you know, it's quite challenging, you know, so challenging. But if you try, you know, so, you know, there's like tremendous benefit, there's tremendous benefit. Even the temporarily, you know, temporarily, it kind of, you know, ease your mind from that, you know, or difficulties, you know. Even that test, even the moment that you're doing this practice, even that moment, kind of, you know, ease your mind from that, you know, difficulties, just like so overwhelming, okay. So I'm probably going to chant this, then please you meditate, or you are welcome to participate, or where they, can you tell them where they are? Where this?
Yeah, it's on the first, the front page of the first base sheet, and it's accepting difficulties as a path in the middle of the page.
This is one of the ways to help yourself. No, that's all. It's one of the ways to help yourself. Oh. Can you read the English, please?
Even if the environment and beings are filled with the fruits of negativity and unwished-for sufferings pour down like rain, I seek your blessings to take these miserable conditions as a path by seeing them as causes to exhaust the results of my negative karma.
The fruit of negativities could be worse. Right now, you know, experiencing something, you know, some result, experiences now, experience the result, there's no something that you can handle, could be worse. So now because of this experience, that karma's gone. So that fruit of negativity could be big and long, complicated one, but, you know, so that little experience, it burns, you know, the karma burns. The result could be much longer, much complicated, much heavier, but it burns. It burns, you know, like, let's say it burns because of this little headache. So that's what you do. You know, that's what you do. Whenever you are feeling something like something, you kind of feel some overwhelm. So where you turn to, you turn to the practice. So then you try to do that practice. You know, at that, the moment you are doing that practice, it, you know, at least, you know, at that moment, that you are kind of no relief. So that's why I think Shakyamuni Buddha taught 84,000 scriptures. Because there's 84,000 ways we become negative. Not just one way, two ways, you know. It's like, it's not like one thing bothers you, it's not like that. There's like 84,000 different ways, that's how people become, you know, stress or negative, how they become negative. Contributed to their negative mind. So that's why Buddha taught 84,000 scriptures. So that's very true. So then what Kadama Master was saying, Kalde Deva Kundu na Deva Tamche Yongsu Pang. So if you want all the happiness, if you want all the happiness, kalde deva kunjana, if you want all the happiness, deva tamja yongsu pangs. They didn't say eat more chocolate. Didn't say, no. What they say, deva tamja yongsu pang, abandon all the desire. Abandon all the desire, then you will have all the happiness. So now our job is to analyze. If you abandon all the desire, then you will have best form of happiness. But, you know, easy to say, but, you know, practically it's not that easy to do. But to minimizing that, now will help. Just sharing with you, I'm not just, just think about that, okay? I'm just sharing with you, just think about that, Doesn't mean you have to do. Doesn't mean you have to bend all the desire. I'm not ordering you. I'm just sharing with you what the Kadama Master said. Said the chindyo dunga ilung lakuna tenji jungs. Oh, I want to be happy. I want to be happy all the time. Is this mindset? Desire. I want to be happy. Is that how you say desire? Said in this life, I want to be happy. It's not thinking, I want to be happy the rest of my life. That's something different. No? That's something different. Just this life. I want to be happy in just this life. So walking around with that kind of mindset, any circumstance. So now the question is, what we need to do, we need to have serious discussions about that mindset. Is this happiness, or it's like suffering? I'm just throwing my idea here, So then you analyze. So the chunjo dunga lung lakur chunjo. Lung lakur means, how you say, here you say roll over, or roll off your shoulder, roll off your back, what that means?
Like that it doesn't bother you.
Don't worry about that mind. Roll over, roll off your back. That's the lung lakuna, tenji jungs. Everlasting happiness will follow. That's what the Kadama Master said. Everlasting happiness will follow if you roll off your back. That kind of mindset, Said the chinde dungas. If someone having this mindset, if that makes you more happy, good news, very good news. So there's nothing wrong. If that mindset is causing you more problems, not knowing why, there's some stress, not enjoying, they need to analyze. Once you realize, because I have this very strong desire to be happy, but we have to understand how to be happy, not just having the desire that doesn't guarantee happiness. But having that desire is not, having that desire, then without the knowledge how to be happy, so then it makes life more complicated. So that's why Prabhupada, what that means, you know. So the chinti dunga is, so that desire itself, is it happiness or is suffering? Need serious discussion. If it's suffering, stronger, that means stronger suffering. Less means less suffering, because it is suffering. So need to have serious discussion. Look, when the tinge juice, no, so then I say whatever. So just want to share, you know, because, you know, being part of samsara is not, you know, as I mentioned, because there are reasons, you know, so part of life is life, part of samsara life is, you know, it's only difficult from the liberation point of view. There's not something that you wish to be. But, you know, part of life, you know, part of samsara is already difficult. So should not make more difficult thinking all kinds of things and all kinds of things, you know, like, not able to handle, you know, so, I wish this, you know, I wish that. Yeah, because it's not just wish, it requires causes, conditions, and that involves karma that you have no clue. No consciousness you don't understand, you know, so I mean like other people, you know, you don't understand their consciousness. You simply know they have mind, or some people probably even don't know they have mind or not. So see, it's quite amazing that you are getting along. It's quite amazing. Totally two different consciousness, totally two different karma, you have no clue. It's not just this life. The life is beginningless. Probably there's many, many karmas. So, therefore, you know, like say, Simjimi, one last of us. No, sentient being has different mental inclinations, different interests. Therefore, even the Shakyamuni, even the enlightened beings cannot please all of them. Even enlightened beings, even though when you're enlightened, you can't please all of them. Why? Because different, you are engaging with different consciousness, different consciousness functioning based on different karmas, and because of that. So then Shantideva said, why you worry to making everybody happy? We can try, but that's not the goal. Even though you get enlightenment, even though you reach enlightenment, does not mean that you can make everybody happy. So Shakyamuni Buddha, historic Shakyamuni Buddha, when he was in India, he can make everybody happy. His Holiness the Dalai Lama cannot make every Tibetan single people happy. So that helps, you know. Sometimes you get discouraged, oh, maybe my practice is not working, you know, all the prayer I'm saying, you know, is not making make difference because, you know, I can't make everybody happy. That's not the goal. This is okay. So my point here, you know, don't make your life harder. Don't make your life harder. You know? So you're already here. So you need to think how to help yourself. You know, means all kinds of ways. You know, like need to think. See, otherwise, you know, like. Simje Mivarnasova Javachana Miguna, Simje Mivarnasova, different mental incarnations, all different beings, different mental incarnations, different interests, different point of view, different opinions. Therefore, even the enlightened being cannot make them all happy. Due to cause and karma, But what you can do, you can be positive from your side, making your mind positive, you know, relatively easy, you know. Other people can be rude, can be mean, but, you know, from your side, you can still can be, you know, think something positive. Does not mean, when you think positive, does not mean that person will smile. That's not the point. Point is to protect your cool. How is it? Your cool? yeah, to keep you cool. Keep you cool. But, you know, it's not easy, difficult. It's not easy, it's kind of difficult. because mind is not trained. Mind is not trained. No? Like, we think like here, there, once a while. No? But it's not trained. Mind is not trained. No? not trained. No? So then, you know, you hear like, feeling very bad about yourself. You know, then what happened, that, you know, some incident took place, you know, so then you didn't do. So you know, I failed myself, you know, my practice is not working, blah, 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 blah. So, So anyway, just want to share, probably. Whatever you're doing, please keep doing. It will change. But you know, change will come gradually. But it will come. It's only a matter of time, it will come. So mind will improve. So this is very much, you know, so whatever you're doing, please keep doing. Keep doing, you know, whatever practice you do, daily practice you do, just keep doing. So don't stop your daily practice because, you know, today, you know, something happens and I could not keep my cool and then all of that. So this is battles with afflicted mind. Battle with afflicted mind, there will be many challenges, you know. So that's the biggest battle, you know, like having a battle with a negative mind, you know. It's not easy. So there will be along the way, there will be many more challenge, but you never give up. So at the same time, it's important to think how long is it? How long they have been there? Are you seeing me? Are you telling me it's been there beginning this time? See, it will not go away easily because it's been there a long time. Now, but it will get weaker and weaker. So I just want to share that with you. So, so now back to the tenet, okay? So where we stop? I think we are like studying now Sastantika. Yeah, please go ahead.
So you asked us whether there was a continuation from the previous week's, the question, which was, how can the Vasuputrians be
Buddhist?
Buddhist.
Now I totally forgot the answer. Now I don't remember it at all. Sorry, because I've lost that memory. So last week I thought I have answers. No, I completely forgot. I totally forgot.
Well, okay. Well, no, I don't have the. I'm not sure. I'm not saying I have the answer, but so I have a separate question.
Yeah, I very much like to hear the answer.
Oh,
because I totally forgot.
Well, are you asking me to give you the answer?
Sure. Yeah, that's very good.
Well, the best answer I could come up with was that, to be a Buddhist, you have to assert that the selflessness of phenomena, right? You have to have, and so the Vasuputrians, in their own definition, they're claiming that they have selflessness because they assert the core selflessness, right? So in their opinion, they can claim to be Buddhist. So if you have the Vasuputrian hat on, you could claim to be Buddhist because I have a version of selflessness according to what I believe. Now. the higher schools may not agree with that, but nevertheless, they have a definition of selfnesses that, and so that's the answer that I came up with.
So we have to answer that, that everybody wants, all the school agrees they are Buddhist. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I have a question.
Yeah, that's very good. I think that's still not thinking. That's very good, wonderful. Yeah.
Are they Buddhists because simply because they've taken refuge in the three jewels?
So, huh? So that, I think now, huh? So now debate. So now that whenever Shankar give answer, whenever Steve gives answer, so now debate, need to debate. Is there any debate, any argument about those two answers, any argument? So answer needs to know this. No. So answers already here now. Answers already.
Fisher, I found a good source. It was on the, this is the Buddhist philosophy book that's on the recommended sources. Shankar's answer seems common sense. I mean, that's, and Steep's answer too, that's what I would think. But I wasn't able to find an actual answer that I was comfortable bringing into class based on the handouts. But what it says here in the book is that that the Vasiputrians propound an inexpressible self, but since their position that a self that possesses the three, permanence, unity, and self-power, does not exist, it's similar enough to all the schools that they are not regarded as being other than Buddhist schools by way of view. I mean, that's...
Yeah. So now the... what Steve said, that answer is what Steve said. That's the answer. Because they accept three jewels as their object of refuge. That's why they're Buddhists. Make sense? Yeah. So that's the ultimate answer. That's the ultimate answer. So otherwise, no, they don't agree selflessness. Doesn't matter, you know, their point of view of selflessness. That doesn't, I think, yeah, of course they have their point of view of self, what selflessness means, but doesn't, how you say, goes very well with those, any of those schools. In the Buddhism, when you talk about selflessness, you talk about based on those four systems. So, and then other than that, you know, then probably it falls into below Buddhist theory. So that this whole range of, you know, like non-Buddhist theory about selflessness, self, evolution of the universe, karma, all of this. That's like, at least as far as I can remember, this at least four or five major theories way before now you got the Vibhasika school. So now that here we have problems. How is our four seal talk about one of them, one of the seals is like selflessness. So there's one problem if there's like this. So then the definitions of, you know, definitions. So that's not the definition of Buddhist. That's the definition of what? Yeah, that's the definition of proponent Buddhist. Means not just Buddhist, you know, also talks about the view, you know, holds strong view, you know, not just Buddhist and someone, not just Buddhist, someone who holds one of those view of, you know, Buddhist view. So then that's like the definition of that. So you can be Buddhist, but not like, yeah, proponent of Buddhist tenet. Does this refer to person? That proponent?
Proponent of Buddhist tenet?
Yeah, does this refer to person?
Yeah, a person is a proponent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, that has to refer to the person, otherwise doesn't make sense. To Dhamma Kansa, Namaste to Dhamma Kansa. So that's the definition of that. Not just, you know, accepting three jewels as their ultimate refuge. Top of that, you know, they have views, you know, strong views about selflessness, like that. So that, you know, so then has there's many Buddhists, you know, some of them have no clue about Buddhist tenet. There's a lot of them in Tibet. First of all, where Buddha Dhamma flourish, even in Tibet. So then I can imagine still now in India, but a lot of them, you know, like Buddhists, because they're simply accepting three jewels as their ultimate refuge. So now that's why they are Buddhists. So that then clear all this kind of argument. Buddhists, you don't have to have view. You don't have to hold any of those view. But taking three jewels as ultimate refuge, that's how you define Buddhist. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is very like this, all of you contributed. So, see, even the debate courtyard, not every single person may not have answer, because that's why you debate back and forth, back and forth. But no matter who contributed answer, so it needs to be grateful. You know? So that's whole effort, group effort, not talking back and forth, thinking. So I'm just, you know, joking that I forgot the answer, but I didn't forget the answer. But
So in the very beginning, what we studied first, right after the homage, actually, it says the definition of a proponent of Buddhist tenets is a proponent of tenets who accepts the three jewels as ultimate objects of refuge and does not assert any ultimate objects of refuge other than these. So that would mean that even the definition of the proponent of Buddhist tenets is just someone who accepts the three jewels, right?
No.
No? Am I reading that wrong?
The last part, that's important, last part.
And does not assert that
no,
part?
No, no. Can you read it again?
The definition.
Because the Tibetan, the way that we write and the way English write is different. It's all like upside down. Doesn't mean that you're upside down, sorry, but but we write differently. From your point of view, Tibetan is upside down. That's like accepting three Jews as ultimate refuge. That's what's called. Then, other than three Jews, then you don't accept anything else as ultimate object of refuge. To Dhamma Kansa, this last one, the last one. Then now you can read in English, then I'll say where that is.
Okay. The definition of a proponent of Buddhist tenets is a proponent of tenets who accepts the three jewels as ultimate objects of refuge and does not assert any ultimate objects of refuge other than these.
Yeah, so the last word in Tibetan comes in the very beginning. So
that does not assert any ultimate objects of refuge other than these?
No, in the beginning. Can you please read one more time? Sorry.
The definition of more a proponent... The definition of a proponent of Buddhist tenets is a proponent of tenets.
Yeah, that one. That one becomes the last in the Tibetan world, that becomes the last one. So you have to have strong view about tenet. It's not just no. So maybe it's not where. No. Kunjo sum chabne yangta to kele sabje. Kunjo sum se three jewel. Chabne yangta is ultimate object of refuge. Kele means accept. Don't accept other than three jewels as your ultimate refuge. Then Tudamaya Kansa means with, you know, like, then that's the very beginning.
A proponent of tenets?
Yeah, proponent of tenets.
Who accepts the three jewels?
So the proponent of the tenet, that has to refer to the person. Make sense? It's clear?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So that one, you know, that one makes big difference. The Tudamaya Kansa means, so if you don't have any views, if you have no clue, like say some people in Tibet, if you ask them what is selflessness, I don't know. They will say, I don't know. Yeah. So that, you know, if you don't know, you don't have views. No. If you don't know, you don't have views. You have no opinions. No. So that you have not just view, very strong view. Oh, that's how you define selflessness. No. A strong view. So that's like. I think this probably should be better translation, like Tudamaya Kansa. I'm not sure how to say Tudamaya. Tudha is a theory or tenet. Ma means you talk about that. No, it's not just you just take reference to three jewels. You talk about that tenet. No, someone who accepts three jewels, ultimate refuge, object ultimate refuge, not just that, and that person talking about view. So that's the definition of Buddhist with view. View associated with the Vivasika, view associated with the Sastantika, view associated with Chitramatra, the view that associated with Pasankiga, the Madhyamika school. So, Ningjie, my cat, associated Steve with the good food. So, you know, if there's no food, then how you can associate someone with, if there's someone not feeding you, how you can associate with that person with good food? There's no food, you know, you can associate, you know, there's not just accepting three Jews as ultimate refuge, object of refuge. Then on top of that, you know, that your view associated with, very strongly, firmly associated with, you know, one of those schools. So, number Sanjeeva Chudamaya Khasasin is not, this is the definition of the Buddhist with a view. Not, this is not the definition of Buddhist, no? So that's, you know, it's clear? Yeah, oh, yeah. It's very helpful if you go to a monastery, debate courtyard, then I think, you know, you don't get a lot of tsa. Yeah, we have question, yeah. Questions? Then, anything else? What else that we said?
Let's see. Yeah. Describe the difference of the two truths based on the Vaivasika and Sautantrika.
Yeah.
Somebody else has to answer this.
Yeah.
Who wants to volunteer?
It's okay. No, that then.
Okay. Well, it seems like the two truths are completely different.
Yeah.
And then there's two different sort of sub-schools, the followers of scripture and the followers of reasoning, and now they're, but it seems like with Vaibhasika, there's, you know, they start out by saying that a phenomenon that the mind apprehending it is canceled. So it starts, their truths are based on what's going on in the mind, but it seems that the truths in the followers of reasoning or the Sutrantikas, they're talking about what's going on with the object.
Mm-hmm.
That's from what I see. Mm-hmm. So, assert that an ultimate truth is a phenomena that ultimately is able to perform a function, and that a conventional truth is a phenomena that is unable to perform a function ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. That's good. So now, the important things like here, true truth is very important to able to distinguish true truth between those schools. There's one important element of studying tenet. So then, of course, like true truth, then the selflessness included into one of them, you know. True truth. So then, how you define self. That's very, very critical, how you define self. So then based on the selflessness. So then other things are important, but not important as that one. Most important is the true truth, then how you define self. Mm-hmm. Okay? So good, very good, I think wonderful. So, you know, it's a bit like, there's big difference, the way we study the manas, not the studying, but, you know, like, there are more time. You don't go to work, you know. So people here, you go to work, then you come here. So I was really amazed, you know. It's like this. Wow, so I'm not sure. If I walk all day long, still go to class. So then, you know, even just, you know, in Jumet Panti College, when I'm doing my one-year course, they have a lot of, you know, like, the prayer gathering, there's a lot of like long sitting all day long, then around 6 o'clock, then go to class. Not much energy left because, you know, you are kind of physically exhausted. You know? So there you, like, I think, this is doing great. So, you know, in monastery, that's all day long, that's what you do. You memorize, you study, you go to class, that's what you do. That's your kind of like, you are like here, regular job. You don't call job, but that's what you do, you know. So then, still confused, you know. spend all day long spending reading materials, talking to people, still when you go to class, your head is spinning like parables. No? One not just want to know. We debate, study this text. This text, as I said, long page, the 13 page. So even memorizing them, you are still, your head is still, you can say all the definitions, divisions, you can say all of them by heart, but still you have all the materials in your brain, but still there, you know, so you go there, debate, you know, it still take a long time. So, okay, so the point is to be patient to yourself. Don't need to be, you can't, you know, the time and everything, okay. So now let me read some here. So then any books that are written, as I said, like George Dreyfus, because he studied in the monastery. So when he writes, he knows what he's writing. So that's good to read. You know, if there are any books on Tenet by George Dreyfus. And then probably His Holiness Dalai Lama. Then any like, say, Gishisopala from Jepak. So I think all this will help. For Jeffrey Hopkins' book, yeah, probably you know has helped. Chugila, please, can you read where we stop?
Yeah, this was the. Do you want me to read what we last said, or
yeah. So now we are entering into not meaning wise, not that difficult, but term wise is difficult. You know, so I'm not sure how they translate in English. I'm not sure. Like,
yeah, this is the last one that you read, Geshe-la. Mm. There are two types of negatives: non-affirming negatives and affirming negatives. Examples of the former are non-compounded space, true cessation and emptiness. And examples of the latter are the reverse of a non-thing.
Actually, this was the first one. Can you, so maybe we'll go slowly. This
yeah.
Go slowly on this, okay? Don't just jump, read. So.
Two types of negatives. Non-affirming negatives.
So can you move a little bit further?
Further back, yeah.
Further back. So make sure that we understand this, okay?
So maybe, do you want me to start with two existence?
Otherwise, it's going to like brown bear catching, how is it? Brown
marmots.
Bear. Huh?
Marmots.
Yeah, brown bear catching marmot. Catch one, put it there, then sit there. When you, then again, this is gone. Then in the end, you think there's like 10 of them. You end up with one. So just make sure it's not going to be like this. All right. So,
Geshe-la, after the definitions of the two
truths,
start with the next one.
Yes, please.
So, again, existence have two divisions, negative phenomena and affirmative phenomena.
So, negative phenomena, you know, there's a term-wise, term, not a term-wise, term, how is it?
Term? Term-wise.
Term-wise, okay, term-wise. Gapadvani, rangzuji loyi gajachibagoni topachawa, okay, I'll give you one example to understand this a little bit better. For example, impermanent sound, that's the first one is what it's called.
That's the negative phenomena?
No, there's a second one.
The affirmative phenomena.
That's the affirmative one. That's what, impermanent sound, that's primitive one.
Affirmative
one. That's what it is, impermanent. So now there's two different things, you know. Just, you know, okay, the same meaning. So impermanent sound. Sound, absence of permanent means same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds, absence of permanent, impermanent sound means same. Sound, absence of permanent. and impermanent sound, basically it's the same. So now the absence of sound, absence of permanent, that's like the negative one. See, that's the negative one. It's clear though. Impermanent sound, that's the
affirmative.
Sound, absence of permanent. Absent.
Without.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, absent. Absent. Yeah. Yeah, absence of permanent.
Yeah.
I say there's a room without elephant, room with elephant. So you are saying the same thing. No, the same meaning, but saying different. Room with elephant means there's room. There's two different ways you can say, or there's no elephant in the room. There's two different. This is not the only way that you can you make that affirmative, or then how to say?
Negative.
Yeah, can you make that? Let's give just example, elephant. So that make them now make the combined with this room make this affirmative and. How is it?
Negative.
Yeah, make that.
A room without the absence of elephant.
So then now that's your job. How you say in English, perfect English. So my English is not good. So now there's no...
Room without the absence of elephant.
That's negative.
Yeah.
So now...
Room with elephant.
That's primitive.
Affirmative.
Affirmative. See? So now you can do that with the sound, everything. Make sense now? No? Does it make sense a little bit? So now you read the definition, probably it will make a little more sense. You read the definitions of that, the negative one?
The definition of a negative phenomena is a phenomena realized by means of eliminating its object of negation by the mind holding it.
Makes sense now? What is the object of negations? And like sound, how you say it now? To say it to the sound. How is it sound? Absence?
Absence of permanent?
Yeah, sound with the impermanent. Make that permanent, primitive. Make that primitive or like the negative.
So,
impermanent sound, that's like, that's positive one.
Right.
So negative one,
sound absence of permanence.
Yeah, absence of permanence. That's negative. But you are saying the same meaning, same meaning. So now let's stick with the sound is absence of permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stick with that. So now then, based on that, we read these definitions, okay?
So the definition of a negative phenomena is a phenomena realized by means of eliminating its object of negation by the mind holding it.
Here now, what is the object to be negated?
Permanent.
See? Easy. Not that difficult. It's easy. Permanent. So same. The elephant is the object to be negated. In order to identify room without elephant, so what you eliminate?
The absence.
So now like room with elephant, there's nothing to negate, right? There's nothing to negate, right? Word-wise, not meaning-wise. Word-wise, of course, meaning-wise, you have to understand that you have to negate permanent. But word-wise, how they word it, say impermanent sound. Then the definition. So we'll stick with that sound. So then you can use same idea for every phenomenon. Every phenomenon. Another definition.
The affirmative.
Yeah.
Phenomena. A phenomena realized by means of not eliminating its object of negation by the mind holding it.
Makes sense? And that's clear as it can get, so sorry with my English. Saying the same thing, but saying different way, different way. Sound, absence of, absent, how do you say, absent or?
Absence.
Absence. Oh. Huh? Yeah, I really want to say this. So, sound without permanent. Word-wise, you are clearly negating something to understand impermanent sound. No, in order to understand what you are trying to understand, you are wondering, oh, sound is permanent, impermanent, I'm not sure. Then somebody says, oh, sound is impermanent because it disintegrates moment by moment. For example, prayer will. So now you say, oh, I know prayer will disintegrate because it's been brand new, now it's kind of old. So then now based on prayer will, then you understood, oh, sound is impermanent. So that's called syllogism, you know, three round. Sound, impermanent, disintegrate moment by moment. Then you are saying to the Sarah, oh, Sarah, the sound is impermanent because it disintegrates moment by moment. So there's another circle. Example, rose. Rose. Last couple of days ago, it's fresh, brand new. Now it's kind of like falling, leaves kind of falling down. So then you do understand rose disintegrate. That's no problem. So now using that knowledge, then helping to understand, oh, now sound is also impermanent. No, because it's now loud, then it's getting kind of weaker like that. So now what are you trying to understand here? You're trying to understand impermanent sound in like negative ways. Hmm? Sound without permanent. Datatong. That's how you say it. Datatong. Taktong. No tofu. Datatong. No tofu. Datatong. Dhammitakpa, that's a positive one, Dhammitakpa, same, sound, impermanent sound, Dhammitakpa. Dhattaktong, means you are negating, what you're saying is, sound is not permanent, that's what you're saying, sound is not permanent, so that's negative. So they're clearly negating something, see, say, like, prayer will, impermanent prayer will, that's positive. The prayer will without permanent, that's negative. But that's clearly negating something to get to the point. So that's no. So now it makes sense. So now then, based on that, just use one example. Sound or impermanent rose, whatever you use. Impermanent rose, rose without permanent. The bottom line is same. What you are trying to get is like impermanent rose. That's what you're trying to get. So first one doesn't negate anything. The second one clearly negate permanent. That's called negative. Okay, so now, based on that, then if you move down, so then probably will be a little bit clear. So now negative has two mega.
There are two types of negatives, non-affirming negatives and affirming negatives.
Mm.
Example.
That's not good to start at the end of the day, especially on Friday. But it's worth it. It will help you to improve your understanding of impermanent. It will help, okay? Because emptiness is first one. What is it called? First one?
The non-affirming negative.
There is emptiness. It is that. Emptiness itself is that one.
Non-affirming negative. Non-affirming.
Yeah, if that's English words like make you more confused, then I think better to learn mega. It's easy. So mega. This is easy, mega.
So an example of the former, and the former is the non-affirming negative. An example of that are non-compounded space, true cessation, and emptiness.
So now the division you already know, dhammacitta and namga. So there's like basically what this is, first one.
Non-affirming negatives.
Yeah.
And affirming negatives.
Yeah, then the example.
So the affirming negatives are the reverse of a non-thing and the appearance of the reverse of
Shukla,
a non-thing.
Sorry, please. Can you say
before
that?
Again? That?
Yeah, can you say it like... Yeah, space.
So the non-affirming negatives, non-compounded space, true cessation, and emptiness.
Known from the first one.
Non-compounded space.
Yeah, see, no, this all this extra word, but this is like literally translation. What it means, it mean, simply means sky, that's all. It's much easier to say sky, you know, than all this word, you know, so like, Now, problem is, when you translate from English to Tibetan, then you lose all the word. If something happened, you know, Tibetan, like cannons all burned down, there's no more. So that if you need to translate from English to Tibetan, so now then everything will be, you know, like kind of like, yeah, so then it's Namka, you know. So this is Dumachi Namka. The main is like, if you can just say sky, that's fine, that's what it is, you know, Dumachi Namaja. So now cessation, you know, cessations, you know, cessations. A freedom from negative mind, you know, cessation, that's what it is. So then Tony emptiness, oh. Long time ago, when the monks started to come to West to, you know, give Dharma teachings, so their main challenge to finding translator who can speak Tibetan and English both. So there are students, you know, probably who graduated from college, so you can find something like that, but they have no Dharma knowledge. So then where they translate emptiness is like two whole.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Tongpa Ni. Ni means two. Ni means just. So then if you say it very fast, you know, so then it sounds like two. Tongpa is whole. So the way they translate two whole, it doesn't make two whole. So that's how they've been translated a long time ago. Emptiness, two whole. Because that's how the translator understood Tongpa Ni. He has no clue about Dharma knowledge, Tongpa Ni. So a lot of mistakes have been dead, like they've been made. So then people write down not to hold. So maybe the second one should be like Mayinga.
The examples of the affirming negatives?
Yes, yeah.
The reverse of a non-thing and the appearance of the reverse of a non-pot to a conception apprehending it.
Basically, it's like pot, that's all. You are talking about pot, nothing more. You are just talking about pot. You are talking about prayer wheel. Because of the kolo mahimpa loba, kolo mahimpa loba. It's like saying this is a prayer wheel, and then another way to call prayer wheel, that's more complicated how they translate it. Even in Tibetan word, mahimpa loba. So I got really like. Then not just that one, then you stack them, four or five of them together, then you get really confused, you know. This is called Hilo Milo, that's called that, this particular chapter called Hilo Milo, that monks get really confused, like, Ngubu Maimbalo, 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 then he said, then you have no idea how many times that you say the negative one, how many times you say the positive one. Maimbalo Loba, so now, what's the best way to say it? When you read this, can you understand a little bit when you read this? Second one, yeah, please.
The reverse of a non-thing and the appearance of the reverse of a non-pot.
So reverse of non-pot. Reverse of non-pot. That's how you say in word. Reverse of non-pot means, this is not glass, right? Obviously this is not glass. This prayer, let's say, has a reverse of non-pot. So let's say reverse of non-prayer will. What is the non-prayer will? Okay, book, table, watch, glass, flower. These are non-prayer will. Reverse of non-prayer will, what is that? That's prayer will. See? But if you are seeing, so otherwise it doesn't become like, as a negative, affirmative, as a...
A non-affirming negative.
Yeah, it doesn't become like... You have to make this non-affirmative negative. How you make... That's the only way you make non...
So the second one is the affirming negative.
Yeah, affirming negative. So how, like, say, make affirming negative based on prayer wheel, how are you going to make? So that's exactly how you say this.
Yeah, the reverse of a non-thing.
Reverse of non-thing such as table, watch, all of that. We are talking about prayer wheel. Reverse of non-things.
Yeah.
Then.
And the appearance of the reverse of a non-pot to a conception apprehending it.
Mm. Yeah, so that's not... Sorry, but you know, I don't understand that in English, too.
Well, in parentheses, it says the mental image of a pot. But that's not part of the actual text. That's when it's in parentheses. They
basically, it's prayer will. No, this is prayer will, no. I wish I could speak fluent English, then I can say, you know, like in the easiest way in English, but unfortunately I'm not sure how you create the karma that, you know, studying a difficult topic with, you know, someone who only speaks broken English, so, because my Himbana Loba, there's no... the prayer is not glass. That's called Himbana Loba. Himbana Loba means, Himbana Loba means, prayer will is, okay, it's kind of fun now. There's two ways to say, prayer will is not glass, okay? Prayer is not glass. So now, prayer will is not glass, so now that prayer will is, as the Himbana law, prayer will is not glass. Let me try. Prayer will is not glass. So, Himbana law. Something that is glass. That is, let's say that is glass. So prayer will is not glass, right? Not glass. Himbana law. So now prayer is reverse from glass. Make sense? I'm not sure how to say Himba the law. Himba. No. Prayer will reverse from Himba. I'm not sure how to say Himba. In English. So something that is glass. There's any short word for that? Any? Something that's Himba, that's good. Same, that's negative, right? Now make it positive.
Not non-glass.
Yeah, non-glass, that's good. Non-glass, non-glass. Prayer will is non-glass, right? It's non-glass. But it's not like opposite of that, how you say. So say, prayer wheel is not non-glass.
Prayer wheel is not.
Yeah. So see, prayer wheel is not.
Yeah, they have to have two knots.
See, so now like that's good, Richard. You contribute non-glass, so they make it now positive. Non-glass, make it positive. That's negative. Make it positive. That's just word. How you say negative, positive way? Glass.
Yeah.
Glass?
You're talking about the prayer wheel. I would say that not glass is the prayer wheel.
Oh, so now see, you know, that's like really, this subject called Ilomilo. So then your head goes round like that. It's a little wild, but the point is. So now we are getting there, very close. So non glass, okay? Prayer will is non-glass.
Yes.
The now say is prayer is not, not,
yes.
I say?
Not, non-glass.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, prayer will is not, non-glass. Yes. Why?
Because it isn't glass. I'm like glass.
Then the answer should be, because the prayer will is non-glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The answer should be like that, because prayer will is non-glass. So now please say that again. That's kind of fun. So, yeah.
So the prayer wheel is not non-glass because the prayer wheel is non-glass.
Okay, so now see, that's just words. So see now? That's like... that's exactly Mahimpa Lokpa. That's like Mahimpa Lokpa. So now say that's a glass. Glass. Himpa Lokpa. Prayer wheel is not glass. No?
The not non-glass is the prayer wheel.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the second one.
That's the affirming negative.
So ngubo mayimba loba. So the first one is called
the non-affirming negative and the affirming negative.
The affirming negative. That's the one we are struggling here. No? The example?
The reverse of a non-thing.
Yeah, the reverse of non-thing. So now just non-thing, just set aside. No? Set aside. Just use prayer wheel. See? The reverse of
a non-prayer wheel.
Yeah. Reverse of non-prayer wheel. What is that? See?
No, the prayer wheel is not glass.
But that's a different way of saying, because you have to make it like affirmative, negative, non-affirmative, negative. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you can make, even in your language, I think, you know. So, go ngubo mayimba loba. As I now said, it's on prayer wheel, the first one.
The reverse of a non-prayer wheel?
Yeah, reverse of non-prayer wheel means what you're saying, prayer is not glass, not flower, not table, right? That's what you're saying. Ngubo mayimba loba. Didn't it? Ngubo mayimba loba. So now say that the glass. Prayer wheel is not glass. So that does not mean not what happened. So now before say prayer wheel is not non something like you say.
Not non glass.
So there's too many not there. Prayer is not non glass.
Mm.
So then can you say that some similar to the prayer is not glass? No, that's the first one, we got it really right. First one, got it really right. The bottom line, David, we are talking about prayer, that's all. You know, that's all we are talking about prayer. So then, first one, see, that's more important one, huh? Mayimpa loba. Prayer is not non-glass, because it is non-glass.
Yeah.
That's why, if you ask why, because it is non-glass. So then prayer is not glass. Himpa loba. No, so those, both of them are like affirmative negative.
Affirming negatives.
Affirming negative. So that's what it's now. See, not that difficult. But in the monastery, you know, even monastery, you know, like all day long studying class, still get a little bit, you know, confused. But it's talking about prayer will, that's all. You know, it's talking about prayer will, you know. Same, means reverse from things.
A non-thing.
Reverse from unknown things. What is unknown? What's unknown?
A non-thing.
Yeah, a non-thing. What is non?
Not.
What is that?
Absent.
Yeah. I mean, what is that? That's permanent, right? Yeah, non. You have to say none of what?
Okay.
No, things. When they say things, they change. So that none is permanent, right? Okay. So then this one is just here in the text. Non-thing?
Reverse of a non-thing?
Yeah, reverse of non-thing. Thing is like something that functions based on cause and conditions, right? That's called definition of things and something that disintegrate. So now reverse of non?
Non-thing.
Yeah, reverse of non-thing. What is non? Non is something that doesn't change, which is permanent. So basically what you are saying things are not permanent. That's what you're saying. No? But you can make you cannot make impermanent negative, permanent negative. You can make, that's why you have to say this way. Make sense? Make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense to me, Geshe-la. So, a thing here is, according to, with this hat on, it's the same as an impermanent, right? Because it says that.
Yeah, and now we are in the Vipassana, South Tantrika school.
South Tantrika school, it says a thing is a mutually inclusive with impermanent, right?
Yeah, these things. So the Vipassana school, everything that exists, they're called things.
Right, okay.
There's a permanent things, impermanent things, but that's gone. You know? So
right.
Here,
so now in South Tantrika school.
Things mean something that disintegrate moment by moment.
Right, okay. Mm. Yes, I'll accept. Mm. Yes, that's right.
Mm.
So a non-thing is something that is a permanent thing.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right, then we... Yeah. Okay, I just got confused.
Yeah,
okay.
So now you know, we just finished the Vivasaka school. So Vivasaka's head is all off. Yeah. So if you bring that, yeah, of course, the Vivasaka school, see, everything, there's things. You know, they have like impermanent things. For them, things, functioning things means existence, that's all. You know, here, now functioning things means it's based on causal condition. It doesn't mean something that exists, no? Functioning impermanent things, functioning permanent things doesn't make sense here. Because that your understanding of that functioning things is very limited. Now here a little more sophisticated. So functioning things mean something that change, not something that exists, no? In the Vipassana school say, oh, something that exists called functioning thing. Then within that there's like permanent functioning thing, impermanent functioning things sounds very strange because their view is very limited. When you're studying here, it sounds very strange. No, so like how you say functioning permanent things, it sounds like contradictions, you know. But that's their view. This is now already finished. Yeah. So now, Shankar, it really makes sense. Like the first one, none.
The reverse of a non-thing.
Yeah, reverse of non-things. Important here. What is non-things? Reverse of prayer will, right? Reverse of prayer will, the reverse of none, what is that? That's permanent. Reverse of prayer will, that's glass. One of them, right? Make sense? Oh, your head is about to blow. So what do you think? Should it stop? Huh? Yeah, probably. So tomorrow Saturday, so I didn't. Yeah, we'll stop. Yeah, we'll stop. A good time to stop. Yeah, yeah. No, you can say. Please.
I think.
I think it's all understandable. I mean, speaking for myself, it makes sense, but I think what we're not used to and probably won't understand till we talk more about emptiness is how it's helpful. Because right now it just kind of seems like, yeah, not, is it? That, you know, it's, I think, at least speaking for myself, I can make it work, but we don't usually think in those terms, so it's kind of, we're not seeing the point at this point.
Yeah, so then sometimes, you know, there's the negative, what is it?
The, non-affirming negative and affirming negative?
Yeah, non, like affirmative, the first one. First
non-affirming
one.
Negative.
That one. Sometime, some point in the emptiness book, you'll see. Because such and such don't understand emptiness because they don't understand that one. They don't understand that one because of that. Their version of emptiness is like something else. No, it's not that one. So simply because of that, they don't understand emptiness. So then sometimes they say emptiness is that. Emptiness is?
Non-affirming negative.
We have no clue what they are talking about. I do know emptiness, but when they say emptiness is non-negative.
Non-affirming negative.
Non-affirming negative. We have no clue. You're completely lost. So next time you are not going to lost because you know what they are talking about. You know the definition of that. You know how something becomes. You know all of that. You know, so you have no problems. Otherwise, you will completely lost then, you know. So, in the book you will see, because if they're translated correctly from the Tibetan books, you will see those things. One more thing, then I'll definitely stop. Then now, like going back a little more, going back a little bit, up, the beginning of that.
Where we first start with the mode of asserting objects.
Yeah, formative and then non-formative, I say.
Yeah. So negative phenomena and affirmative phenomena.
Affirmative phenomena. If somebody is talking about, if somebody thinking emptiness is affirmative phenomena, they are completely lost. But you see them in the book. Then when you see, if you see emptiness is affirmative.
Affirmative phenomena.
Affirmative.
Yeah, affirmative phenomena.
Affirmative phenomena. You have no clue. No, what they say, oh, don't bother. I don't know what it is. But, you know, but it's not. It is emptiness is not affirmative phenomena. It is another one.
It's a negative phenomena.
It's a negative phenomena. And within negative phenomena, there's two of them.
Right.
So not the, it's the first one. It's not the second one. If you are thinking the second one, your emptiness is not great. It's the first one.
The non-affirming negative.
Yeah. So then this will, down the road, this will help. If you want, really want to read the materials, it will help. Sorry, that, no, this part of the subject falls into Friday night. Maybe look at a little bit of this, you know, right now what we study is kind of fresh. You know, maybe read this part a little bit, you know, and see, like, to get your, get some understanding. So I think we spend many, many days just to understand the first one. Probably is not, how you say, see, you pick up this very fast. Monastery take a long time, you know, so I'm telling you because I went through that. It's not that easy, okay, a couple of minutes, you know, like 30 minutes, you already figure out, nothing like that. It takes days and days. You know, like your prayer release.
Not non-class.
Yeah, see, that, but the word, you know, is like, hello, Milo, so, anyway, drink good, so I'll stop here, so, yeah. Thank you. So then please know here when you come, so go round the stupa, maybe just it's so one time. So purify so much negative karma and also cause of suffering. So easy to go, you know, if you can go a couple of multiple times, you know, then at least just one is here, already here. So nothing, you know, just then one day life is one living, one more, how is it, living life one more day. It makes it worth it. It's worth it to purify. So see the animal chasing by a dog, you know, create that much merit. We going there intentionally, can you imagine? It purifies, you know. No need to worry about, oh, I couldn't meditate. I didn't meditate, I didn't study, you know. Just go around, you know. Just one round. It purifies so much negative karma. So please take advantage, okay? Yeah.
Is there any particular attitude?
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, you just go. You know. Yeah, just you know, I just want you to just go. You know, just go. You know, say when the pig chased by a dog, that pig's not reciting any mantra. He's just running out of his life. You know, so if that create the karma to be born as a perfect human, can you imagine that? Full of fear, just running around, stupid, chased by somebody. So you know, just go around one round. So you know, doesn't have to be quiet. You know, if you can go around with the saying mantra, you know, it's better. You know, but you just, I will not worry. You know, I'll just go around. You know, just go around. So purify so much.